Line mobile.
November 1, Romeo Bravo Delta, monitoring from Duluth, Georgia.
VTY.
Canary 4 VTY and 1RBD, just trying to see if I could get through from Duluth, Georgia, about 20 miles northeast of Atlanta.
Peter, good. Little scratch, but nothing major. So you sound good.
Yeah, roger that. It looks like we have a 2-meter opening in the southeast, all the way from the eastern seaboard over to Texas, according to one of the maps right now.
So a friend of mine was telling me, I believe it opens up on Saturday morning, or for Saturday day, I guess.
Yeah, I was hitting some repeaters down in my hometown of Albany, about 180 miles south. So, all right, well, I appreciate the comeback and the report. 7-3, y'all are pretty good up here, a little bacon frying, but you're perfectly readable. This is N1RBD. I'll be clear on yours.
Good call, and this is KI4DTY, and I'll be mobile. 73.
7-3, have a great day, N1RBD.
4GOG, here on 146610, here on Highway 59, just want to wave a hand at y'all.
5 headed north to Charlotte.
Peter, I didn't know there's a band opening this morning. I ain't been around the radios here lately, over.
From what I heard the other day, on Saturday, the band opens up for most of South Carolina.
Some calls up on Simplex and thought there might be somebody, but they ain't. Thought there'd be some summits on there. Well, name here is Josh, Japan Oscar Sierra Hotel. Josh is my name, and like I said, I'm here on Highway 59 outside of Seneca going towards Oakway. Got to go do some roofing for one of my mom's friends. They had a collapse during one of the rainstorms, so we got to go fix their roof. Over.
Yep. You're hitting the repeater good. Like I said, I'm on 85 headed north. almost to kind of Spartanburg area.
Are you there, W4GOG?
KI4DTY. Yeah, I'm here. I'm not sure if I got in a little hole there or what, but yeah, I can hear you.
Phone call when I had to pick it up, it was real important, so I kind of turned the volume down so I could talk to the person I was talking to. But anyways, yeah, fantastic. I didn't catch a lot of that conversation because I was driving. Over.
Right, I understand if you had a call. No, I'm north of Spartanburg. That's where I'm headed up to Charlotte on 85 north. But no, you're hitting the repeater good, so I can hear you.
I'm about to get on Highway 24 here, and I got to stop at a church to meet my parents, and I got to follow them to this place they're going to. They live down here on 24 somewhere, and I do not know where. So we'll let you go, and be careful on the drive in Spartanburg going towards Charlotte, and just want to wave a hand at you, W4GOG.
Good call. You have a good day and stay safe on that route. That's nice of you to try to help out. I hear you. If you're ever in Seneca, there's some parts out there that are hard to find. But stay safe on that roof, and at least you have some pretty weather and it's not hot.
Arcs?
For a second. Come back with that.
Parts. What do you mean by parts? I'm part of Parks on the Air. Well, used to be. I've kind of took a break from it, but I just wondering what you mean.
I'm familiar with Seneca, and so I understand that sometimes there's areas out there that are hard to find.
So I understand that now. Okay, W4GOG. I just missed my turn, so let me put the mic down and pay attention. W4GOG, I'm clear.
Have a great day. 73, see ya.
KO4NUE, mobile.
KI4DTY, what you doing, Chad?
Hey, boss man, what's going on? What you up to today?
Oh, I'm driving to Charlotte.
Long day, huh?
It'll be a long day for sure, but I'm thankful for the job, so not a big deal.
You ride along with you tonight?
Radio, I'd love to talk, but if you're not, it's not a big deal. I think my wedding actually ends on the earlier side. I think it ends around 10:15, so I hopefully will be mobile by 10:30, 10:45.
KO4HKX.
Hey, Patrick. What's going on, sir? How are you?
Be good. How are you, gentlemen, today? I'm just trying to recover from yesterday.
What happened yesterday?
They working on cars again, and the body says, you're not used to that anymore.
Oh, man, I spent all day working on a bobcat. As you should see, at least you can lean over and work on the hood. I got to lean over and get in the hole, and you know how big I am. Oh, that was funny.
How long are you going to be working on that bobcat?
I got it all done. I just can't get it to move. I know that sounds strange, but the parking brake solenoid, when it came in the shop, they had a pair of channel lock vice grips on it, and the solenoid was completely missing. So I put a new solenoid on it, and of course, it doesn't work. So that tells me that's why they took it off. So today is troubleshooting, trying to figure out why the parking brake solenoid will not disengage when the ramp comes down. So, but yeah, you should have seen me trying to get yesterday. I was thinking about you anyway. Stuck up in that hole trying to get an exhaust manifold off. And my big old butt, it's horrible. I'm sore. I'm black and blue. I got up this morning, got in the shower, and I thought, man, I got grease. I still got grease on my belly. And I looked, and it's bruises. It's not grease. It's bruises.
That's hilarious. Well, it sounds like my grandpa worked on that bobcat. If there's a pair of vice grips attached to it, I don't recall a tractor or a car in his yard that did not have a pair of vice grips somewhere on that thing, even if it possibly was welded on.
I'm just sitting here shaking my head, checking myself for the bruising that I got from yesterday. So, yeah, I'm with you, Chad.
I got a story I want to tell. I'm just trying to figure out how to say it on the air. So, here we go. So, I worked at a FMS shop, a field maintenance shop for the military. And it's five mechanics. I was the youngest one there, and I had a mentor. E7 was my mentor. And we all would do training at different times, which means when two or three of the guys left the shop, if there was something popped up at the other guy's house that was deployed, we'd take care of whatever was going on in the house, or take care of whatever, you know, if the wife's car messed up or something like that, we'd take care of it. So my mentor calls from, I forget where he was, and says, hey, Chad, my wife is going to bring the car by there. I need you to take a look at it. She says it's making a funny noise. And I said, okay, well, just tell her to come by, Barney. I'll take care of it. I was up in the shop parking lot, and she says, it's this horrible noise in the back of the vehicle when I turn left. Every time I turn left, I hear this ra 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 in the back of the trunk. And I thought, well, that's strange. So I took it down the road. She's sitting in the vehicle with me. We took it down the road and got, I don't know, a mile or two down the road, and I turned a hard left, and there it is. So we pulled over in the church parking lot and opened the trunk, and there is a stimulator, let's put it that way, in the back of the car. It's hitting the side panel on the trunk. You want to talk about embarrassed? Oh, my word, it embarrassed me and her both. I guess you just had to be there, but it was awful. I mean, awful.
I've been in that situation myself, so, yeah, I understand.
That is hilarious. Well, at least the truck was happy, I guess.
Goodness. Oh, the days. Lord, the days, I'm telling you. Oh, my goodness. So the kitchen truck, here's another good one. The kitchen truck had all the mess personnel in it, old Dixon had. And they had cut a hole in the transmission floor pan and had a garden hose and a funnel inside the truck. And they, you go down the road, you know, would be on convoy sometimes 10, 12 hours, and they'd use the bathroom through that funnel, because you can't stop. In the supply section, they had urinals, you keep in the vehicle, you know. But they wouldn't do it. And you have to work on that thing. And it took me a good year or two to figure out, being the new guy in the shop, I always got service 33. Nobody else would work on it. And then it took me about 2 years to figure out, hey, this truck stinks. And it's just horrible smelling. And you get up underneath it and start looking at it. And then it dawned on me. I was mad when I figured out what's going on. I've been working on this thing off and on for 2 years, and y'all were peeing through the floorboard, and then it gets all up underneath the differentials, and then, oh, they just thought that was hilarious, you know. You kid on the block broke me in real good, but I got it straightened out, but just not fun.
But at all. So, car story. So, a friend of ours, they didn't have a car, and so we had actually, my family, we had gifted them a car that wasn't being used. Kind of a long story, but anyways, they drove it. They didn't put oil in the car, and so their idea of an oil change was you pull the dipstick out and you just add a little bit of oil and you keep going. They never changed it. So anyways. Obviously, as you can tell from the story, the engine got baked and it was done for. So we actually, they needed a car, so we bought a crate engine for this car. And me and my dad, we worked all weekend, and we put this brand new crate engine into this little, I don't know if you remember, it's called a K car, a little Chrysler K car. So we put a crate engine in that thing, and about a month later, we got a call from the lady, and she's like, hey, my car's making some weird noises. And so my dad was like, yeah, just bring it over, we'll look at it. I mean, we weren't mechanics. I mean, we were used to working on stuff, but we weren't mechanics. Let me split the cycle. Quarter mile away, we hear this horrible noise. We lived out in the country up in Connecticut. We hear coming down the road. And I was like, Pop, what is that noise? He goes, I have no clue. And so we hear this coming down the road. And it is that lady driving that K car with the brand new crate engine. Well, apparently the flywheel bolts had somehow sheared off, and it had like one bolt holding that flywheel on, and it was beating the side of that engine to death.
Goodness, that could have been catastrophic. Oh my word. I've seen them crack before, but I've never seen one come loose. We got a Dodge Journey, and it started making a squeaking noise last year. You get up to higher RPMs and it quit. And it took me a month to figure out what was going on with it. But the flywheel had cracked all the way around where the crankshaft bolts up to it, almost in a complete circle. And it was just a little thin piece of metal holding it, still holding it on there. But I guess every time that flywheel turned, it would squeak. And it took 2 days just to get to it. But I'm too big nowadays to be working on this stuff, but somehow I get involved in it and, get knee deep in it and gotta do it anyway. But Daniel, I need to ask you a question. Don't let Patrick go first. Go ahead, Patrick.
Dad, I'm fine. I'm just sitting here at my desk listening.
So, Daniel, you got any way of getting in touch with Doug? I'm beginning to wonder if I, made the fella mad the other night. I hadn't heard him back on the air. He has not called me. And you don't have a way to get in touch with him, do you?
No, Doug. I've only heard him on the radio a couple of times. Was that military guy you were talking to the other night?
Yeah.
So I actually heard him on the radio, I want to say yesterday. My week is like, I don't know which day was which. I want to say I heard him on the radio early yesterday. I was running some errands real quick, and I thought I had heard him on the radio. He was actually coming in pretty decent.
Offered him a radio, a used one, but he hasn't called me, and I thought, I told Anna about it. She said, well, honey, you might have made him upset or mad talking about his radio, and that's one of them things Patrick talks about. Sometimes you can dig a hole deeper, and, I'm a master at it, was just trying to help the fella, and I hope I didn't make him angry at me, but I'm trying to get in touch with him, see if I can at least apologize to him or something if he is upset at me. But I still got the radio, but no call as of yet.
I thought what you offered was extremely nice, and I did not think you came across as being mean at all. You kept saying no offense, and like you said, he was a military guy, and even though I don't know a lot about being in the military, it sounded like he didn't have his feelings hurt. Of course, I don't know that personally because I don't know him, but no, it did not sound at all like you insulted him or anything. And obviously, I think any of us on the radio, we just, like what we talked about before, us newer guys, we don't really know, how we're hitting repeater and what we should or shouldn't say. So I have to say it's just my personal opinion. I didn't think there was anything to be offended over with how you worded it. I thought you did an amazing job explaining yourself, explaining etiquette of how to respond and stuff, so I felt like it was good. And actually, when he was talking yesterday, you could tell that he was responding the way you told him was proper, so I thought, if anything, you helped him.
I'll look his call up, see if I can shoot him an email, I guess, but at any rate. Well, Patrick, I gotta ask, have you had a chance to try the antenna yet?
Not, but that's my plan today, is to get it put up and give it a try, so I'll let you know how it goes here in a little while. I'm just waiting for it to warm up a little bit, so my back can release from being bent over yesterday.
Well, like I said, that 90 on the bottom is just to stick it in the ground and then try it out. But, you know, try it out temporarily first. You can hang it from a string or something from the top and not affect SWR too much. But, like I said, the receive side of it is what's so great about it. So you get it near anything metal, I'm talking 6-8 inches, you know, it's going to affect you SWR a little bit. But when I made the test call, I mean, you saw the video, I had it in a vise outside, and that was, I think, 2.5 watts, something like that. And I think I'm 76 miles from the repeater, I think. But at any rate, just let me know if it does work. But I'd be anxious to know. I mean, it works for me. I know it'll work, but will it work in your locations? What I'm getting at.
We're giving it a try today. That's what I had on the plan for today, was to get out there and give it a test run and see what we got.
Well, I'm gonna say 7.3, fella. I gotta get out here and get back on this Bobcat. So, Daniel, you give me a call tonight on the way back. I'll ride along with you. And Patrick, both of you have a wonderful day. I'm gonna say 7.3s, and God bless you both. I appreciate you. Y'all have a wonderful day. It's Kilo Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo. I'm clear.
Chad, and thanks again for that antenna, and I will give you a shout when I get time to try it out today.
Next, and I'll get to a radio.
Chad,
Fred, I can't pick you out of the noise on there, so I'm going to go ahead and say 7.3, and if you can hear if they're wandering around to Hamfest, I wish I was there. KO4 HKX, and I'll be clear.
4HKX, KO4 NNH, 7.3 Patrick, I actually hopped on EchoLink so I can talk to you. I said I might have to put my mobile in cross speed, I guess, to hop in the repeater. I actually go do that right now. 7.3 Patrick, hope you have a great day. This is KO4 NH. I'll be clear for right now.
I'm still around KO4 HKX. I couldn't pull you out of the noise there, so I didn't want to keep trying to tie up the repeater.
Let me go put my car in cross speed mode here in a few minutes and wait for Gary to get back. So, I'll talk to you in a little bit, Patrick. I actually want to use my handheld. My phone's about dead. KO4 NNH.
Fred, have a good day. KO4 HKX, and I'll keep an ear out for you later. I'm clear.
KI4DTY. Can you still hear me, Patrick?
Daniel, I can still hear you. You're a little scratchy.
Hit the North Carolina border, and I didn't know if you could still hear me. I wanted to see how far I could actually reach.
Quickly readable. Like I said, you just got a little scratch with you.
So what car were you working on yesterday?
I was at a shop working for a buddy of mine. He owns a repair shop where I parked my tool truck in Hendersonville. And, he's short-handed and just needed some help, so I've been going in and helping him on Fridays. So it was just a customer's car.
I heard you talking last night around, I guess it was 7 o'clock, you were headed home. I was just on that little Bofang handy talkie, like I said, piece of junk, so I didn't even dare try to talk. But I was wondering why you were getting home so late.
Stayed to finish up the job I started. Didn't want to leave it hanging.
What were you working on?
Putting the rear subframe and rear suspension under a Honda CRV. He does a lot of work for body shops, doing the mechanical work for him, so I was taking care of that one.
A week or 2 weeks ago, my blinker on my truck has been just turning on randomly, like the right blinker will turn on. And I have to turn the left blinker on to get the right blinker to stop blinking. And then about, a few minutes later, my left blinker will come on and I'll have to put it back into neutral. I need to change out the switch. But it's been driving me crazy because I'm going down the road and I'm sure people think I'm crazy because my right blinker will be blinking and then all suddenly it'll stop and then my left blinker all suddenly comes on because I'm turning the left blinker on and then I put it back in neutral and then the right blinker starts blinking again.
Expedition you're talking about?
Yes.
The hard shell that holds the electrical connectors in on those were bad to break. The little tab that locks the wire in and the wire would back out and make contact with other wires in there. So you might want to look at that when you pull the trim off the column.
One piece, are you saying you think it's the wire that comes out of the actual blinker switch, signal switch?
Problems with that hard shell connector that plugs into the multifunction switch. With the wires coming loose, the tabs breaking the locks. So we had to put a lot of those hard shell connectors on, especially with somebody that tilts the steering wheel a lot up and down. So just check it before you go throwing a switch in it thinking that's going to fix it, because you may have something else going on.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Now, I don't raise or lower the steering wheel at all. Where it's at. That's kind of weird. But, I mean, the truck does have 242,000 miles on it. I guess that's a good call on that. I'll open it up and see if it's that connector.
Just take and give the wires just a light pull and see if any of them pull out of the hard shell connector. And you'll know, or you'll see them sometimes, they're backed out. But, just keep an eye on that before you put a switch in it. But they did have a lot of problems out of the switches, too. I actually keep an extra one laying around for my truck, so that way I don't have to worry too much about it.
But I'm pretty sure I heard you say just take that connector. So is that something that I should visually be able to see that has a crack or something in it?
Wires will be loose. You can pull them out or they will be hanging out of it.
All right, well, I'm going to say 73s because it's starting to get real scratchy for me, and I'm sure you're probably struggling to hear me too. But it was great talking to you, Patrick. Have a good one.
Daniel, be careful out there today, and have fun at your job you got going on. KO4 HKX, and I'm clear. 73.